Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
hat on,
suit on,
suit on,
looking like the Capitol,
giving a microphone,
dressed
like a million bucks,
buying
things in his cuffs.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, everybody out there listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. Man, steady trying to be about the business too, y'all. I'm doing all I can. But you know what's crazy? In the efforts that I make, I can do more. You know, my father used to tell me something when I was growing up. He said, son, when you've done your best and you've done all you can, sit still for a second and just do a little bit more. Always remember that. He said, when you've done the best you can and you can done all you can think of, he say, sit still for a minute and do some more. And you know what I've discovered in my life? I always have a little more. I ain't ever just out completely. I can't take another step. There ain't another breath in me. There ain't another thought I can produce. I'm never completely out, man. Just take a rest for a minute, man. And then just do a little bit more. And that I can't tell you how many times that's helped me get over the top. You know, I was watching a documentary about people climbing Mount Everest and how difficult climbing Mount Everest was, and how they have on the hill something called like a death zone or killing zone, where the majority of people run out of oxygen and they have to turn back. Well, what's crazy is it's right in view of the summit. You can actually see the top of Mount Everest from there. But it's that little bit that's left that's just most difficult. Now, I forgot all the reasons why they said most people don't make it from there and more people have lost their lives in that area. I don't know what it is. But the people that make it to the top of Mount Everest, they all had to go through that same zone or that same area. But they had a little bit more that allowed them to get to the top. You know, a lot of people have had accidents up there trying that, so I'm not even really sure if Mount Everest analogy is a good one. But let's just break it down a little bit more. Let's just talk about life. There's a poem I learned back when I was pledging. It's called Don't Quit. The author's unknown, but the poem was called Don't Quit. And I had to memorize it. I memorized this poem when I was 18, 19. But the poem stayed in my head. I'm going to try to remember it right now. I'm going to say it for you. But there's a stanza in it that talks about how many a fellow has turned about when he might have won had he stuck it out. So don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. You know, that's a stanza that always sticks out in my mind. I'm gonna say, I can memorize one. Hold on, right. Okay, this is the poem. The author is unknown. The name of the poem is Don't Quit. It goes like this. If I make a mistake, I'm just trying to drum it up. So here we go. It says, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when your funds are low and your debts are high, when you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when cares are pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. For life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us must sometimes learn. And many a fellow has turned about when he might have won had he stuck it out. So don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and a faltering man. And often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learns too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out. It's your silver tint of your clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. Okay, I remembered it. Cool. I remembered it because I had a special method of helping you remember stuff back then, but I remembered it. And that poem right there has kept me a lot of times. You know, we often talk about scripture and everything, and I don't see how I could live without it. But every now and then, man, somebody has a writing. God puts a writing on somebody's heart that delivers a message, man, that can help people. I use every motivational tool that I possibly can to climb this ladder of success or try to be the best father and the best husband I can be. I've done a lot of changing over the years, and so have you. But change is necessary in order to grow. If you don't make changes, folks, you can't grow. I was a young man on my set. I kept looking at him, man, a sharp little young dude just on my set. And he had these dreads, and I mean they were super long, man. They were well below the middle of his back. I mean, they were just long. And he kept talking to me. Now, I know somebody gonna take this the wrong way, but this is my story, so you know, feel how you want to feel. I already know the emails is coming. You talking about it? So young man kept talking to me, and I said, hey man, you know, you do your a huge self a favor in the business you're in if you got a haircut. You would do yourself a huge favor. I said, your image is everything, man. I said, you keep stopping me in the hallway to try to tell me what you do and what you are. But all I see is your hair. And I keep trying to figure out what you're doing with all that hair, man. Now, you can feel how you want to feel, but I'm like an employer. I employ people. So when I'm walking through the hallway and I try to think of you traveling with me and you sitting in a meeting with me, I try to imagine you in your suit sitting there talking business with me. And so just like other employers are, I'm just having a real story with you. So I said, man, you ought to consider cutting your hair. He said, man, Mr. Harvey, I've been growing this hair since I was a little boy. I said, how old are you now? He said, 28. I said, well, how long you want to hang on to what you was when you was a little boy? You know, if you started growing your hair when you were a teenager, I mean, you're 28 now. And I said, so let me help you understand something. Let me ask you something. What does it do for you? He said, man, it's just who I am. I said, so you your hair? He said, no, but it's a part of me. I say, that part of you that you're hanging on to, what does it do for you? I just like it. Well, dog, I like ice cream. But if I hang on to ice cream and eat ice cream every single day, my body gonna reflect that. What is it that you're hanging on to that you don't want to let go of, that's prohibiting you from being what all you can be? See, it's hard to be what all you can be if you want to keep being all you was. Don't that make sense to you? So I can't tell you how many times I've had to change. Change is necessary to grow. You can't be all you can be if you want to keep hanging on to all you was. That don't make no sense. How do you go forward if you keep going backwards? You can't stay here and go there. Do you understand that? If you want to go over there, you must remove yourself from right here. Oh, I got right here is comfortable. I got right here is safe. But over there is where the shade is. Over there is where the fruit is. Over there is where the opportunity is. Over there is where the mountain of gold is. So why you stuck on here? You got to leave here to go over there. You can't be all you can be if you want to stay stuck on who you was. Change is growth is necessary, y'all. Let's go.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
21 minutes after the hour, 21 minutes after the hour, the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Yeah, man.
Yay, yay.
Shirley Strawberry, how
are you? Hey, good morning. Happy Friday, Steve.
Carla for real.
Hello, crew. How you doing?
What's up, Junior?
Morning, Unc.
Oh, man.
Same time.
Tommy, what's going on,
man? My dog. What's up, Unc?
Food, Chance and Brian.
What up, Steve? What up?
All day. All day. And
gonna be all day, all evening.
And just a little taste of what today is going to be back. Jay, did you just call me Steve?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's going to be Mr. Harvey from now
on. Mr. Harvey from now on? Okay, no problem.
I know where it came from.
Yeah, but we're going to address this a little bit later.
Well, if that's what you like, no problem out of me.
Yeah. We're going to address it later, but we're going to start now.
Mr. Harvey.
Is that just for Jay?
Excuse me?
Steve, I was saying, Steve, is that just for Jay?
You just heard the man.
You just called me Steve?
Yeah, I was saying, well, Steve, what I was saying is that just for
you
Jay
ain't
to
get
call
the memo?
No.
Whoa.
Oh, that memo. Okay. Okay, oh. Mr. Harvey. Okay.
All right, now.
Man. Wow.
Mr. Harvey, huh?
That takes too long. What just hurt?
You unk, as far as I'm concerned. You unk all day
long. Mr. Harvey,
you're really tripping. You're going to allow that? You've been off for all my life.
At 8:41, be listening to this show. At 8:41, Mr. Harvey will be issuing a statement.
But Steve, wait a minute. I mean, Mr. Harvey, wait a minute.
Sick of all y'all.
Steve, dang it.
Us?
Mr. Harvey.
You sick of us?
Huh?
So at 8:41, what's going to happen?
Oh, no, a little surprise. I don't even want to say a statement because it really don't deserve addressing. Mm-hmm. But since everybody like to talk, lie, mix, confuse the truth, you know, the internet is an amazing place right now. So any little coward can just put a lie out there and then just make it and then just blend story. We going to unblend something at 8:41.
The unblending at 8:41 Eastern. No.
So are you Uncle Mr. Harvey? How do I do
Mr. Uncle. Mr. How Uncle. About Mr. Uncle?
Mr. Yeah, Uncle Mr. Harvey?
Uncle. I don't, that's too many titles.
You know what?
Mr. Uncle.
You know what? I kind of like that, but it's taking too much. So I'm going to just you go with Uncle.
I'll stay with Uncle.
Yeah, you can stay with Uncle.
Okay.
Jay, you can find another way to call me something. You're going to have to get a little bit more formal. All this friendship we done had 30 years and all that. Don't worry
about something
that.
Formal.
Jay, you're supposed to say something like, my Lord.
Oh,
my
I
Lord.
Got, no, no,
Your
no.
Grace.
Oh, I got a name for you. Don't worry.
Mr.
How many words is it?
Oh, a lot of syllables.
but it got Mr. in the front, Jay.
It's always got Mr. Yeah.
Starts with Mr.
It better not
right
be another
that.
M.
I don't know.
I tell you what, I bet it better not be another M in that.
All right, coming up, we got something funny. Mother's Day is this weekend. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, we're back. It's Mother's Day weekend this weekend.
Yes, it is. This is the one right here. This is the one that counts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Mattis.
Got my mama something.
Where'd you get her?
Oh, she got a lot. I spent some money on mama. Mama late.
Yeah, you always do. For mom, you go out. For mom.
Now let me ask y'all. This is my first time with this. Can you overdo mama and not give wife the same? I mean, does that create a problem?
Don't let them know that you did that. Yeah.
But my mama gonna let her know.
Yeah, mama gonna tell it. Yeah, mama gonna tell it.
Yeah, mama gonna stunt.
Yeah.
Do you buy them equal the same? How do you do that?
You take
You're gonna
care
get your mama
both.
And your wife the same thing. Yeah.
No. I didn't say that. I say, but do you know, I always spend a lot on my mom. This, you know, so I'm trying to figure out, am I supposed to spend the same amount or even more on your wife? How you supposed to do that?
You got to come correct on both, but
So
you can't shortchange your wife and just you know, a load on your mom. You can't do it that way.
Buy your mom a house, and your wife
you do that time
a candy,
a card.
Shortchange your wife, Thomas. Go ahead.
See what happened to you.
You can't.
And you
do
cannot
that,
get your wife a something that's not personal. It has to be personal.
Yeah,
can't get a blender or a vacuum cleaner, nothing like that.
Oh, no.
No, you cannot get
I wish you would come in
or
here
some
with
pots. Some pots.
Even if you need one, you can't get it.
What am I going to do with some pots?
Well, you, but you.
No.
You ain't going to do a damn thing.
No, you ain't going to do nothing with no pots.
You bang need to take them together? Take them to graduation and bring them together when somebody walking.
No appliances. You're right, Steve. No appliances.
Now, the rule I used to use for my mom, because my mom loved hats. She really loved a lot of hats. And she loved ugly hats. So if I ever went to the store, I would pick the ugliest hat there. And I would give it to her. She loved it. She was like, oh, my God, that is so great. So, yeah, a hat's got to be personal. Something ugly.
Okay, so I bought my mama some diamond earrings.
That's good.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Very beautiful.
That's very good.
But I haven't bought my wife nothing yet. I'm still trying to figure out. So do I have to match or go beyond that?
I got an easy fix, Tommy.
Go ahead.
What is
Give them one earring each.
Yeah, listen to him.
That's idiotic, Jay.
Listen to your friend. See what happens.
Give one the right ear and the other one the left ear.
And a blender. And see what happens.
And a blender. See what happened to your ass. Oh, this is the right ear, baby.
That is dumb.
I like it, though.
You
I like
it?
I like it.
Oh, God. Steve, Tommy, don't do
jump
that.
On
don't
in
listen
here.
To Jay. Yeah. Help
that
him.
Might work. And they can call each other whenever they need the other one if you're really going somewhere.
You see, this brings them together. Are you going anywhere this weekend? No. Can I get the left earring?
That's it. That's perfect, Tommy. No. No, that's Tommy. Tommy, that's a great idea. Go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. No, that's perfect, man. That's real smart.
I thought so, too. I actually thought.
I know, man. That's slick, man.
The fact that we agreeing on something, man, you don't know how that made me feel, man.
And don't stop there. Gloves. You got to give them gloves.
Some white gloves.
One each.
One glove apiece. I love it, Jay. Yeah.
Steve, please, come on. You're the king of gift giving.
No.
Please.
No.
You are.
No, I want Tommy to do this.
We're begging him to do it, actually.
You give Kate that one earring, boy, the call that you gonna get on Monday.
I got one more. Six roses. Six, right? Uh-huh. You gave the other six to your mom, right? Uh-huh. So six apiece, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, equal. Half a dozen. Yeah, you go. I like that.
Man, you're going to be so damn homeless.
He's going to be so divorced.
What bridge you going to be at times so I can bring you something to eat? Because that's where you going to be at.
A warm meal.
It's going to be good,
Let
man.
Me know.
Spread the love around. I like it.
Spread the love, man.
Steve, I can't believe Steve's not saying anything because he is an expert, Jay, in giving gifts.
Oh,
I
he really can lay it out. He knows
he really
but
gifts.
You know
really
what, though? Way.
What?
But you know what, though? Really, I'm agreeing with this because I'm going to break this teaming up these two fools. This everything Jay say he agree with, everything Tommy say he agree with.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go and let this one happen.
Everything you say Junior agrees with.
No, because it makes sense. Jay and Tommy don't make no sense.
They do make sense.
One earring apiece, one glove, and six roses. This what we gonna go with that.
Are you busy tonight? No. Well, can I borrow the love?
Can I borrow the earring? That's all. I'm going out. That's all.
Think of the closeness they're going to be, man. How close they're going to be.
And Tommy, he ain't even married. You taking advice from Jay.
Yes. Yeah. This is crazy.
That's what I don't understand.
Ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Wow. Well, yeah, what kind of gifts did you give in the past?
Tommy, and just go on and just use this for everything.
What do you mean,
like Christmas,
Steve?
Too, you mean?
What do you mean, Steve?
I mean, like everything. Handiwork, all that. I don't care what it is. Your mama with a new dough, give her the dough, give your wife the dough knob.
No. No.
Don't stop
that.
Don't stop. I like it.
Use that logic. You know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Steve, you are taking him to the divorce.
Give one
court.
The television, the other one the stand. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
For the remote.
One gets the remote. Mm-hmm. You see?
They just have
give
to get
one
together.
Of them. Yeah, one of them some sneakers, get the other one the shoestrings, and just watch them have to work together.
But it just brings them closer, man. It makes the family tight.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, keep doing that. Buy one of them the car, get the other one the car key. Yeah.
I like
this is not good.
I like
Tommy,
I like
don't
it.
Listen to them, Tommy.
Brings
Carla
everybody.
And I are mothers. Do not listen to them.
And why?
And why?
Here you
wives.
Go, Tommy. Here you go, Tommy. Give them a bra. Give one of them the right cup and get the other the left cup.
No,
now,
mama,
let me tell you something. I done seen your
wife.
Mama and your wife.
He said my mama's stronger than my wife.
When your wife get the other cup, it's going to be useless.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day, Mama.
Uh-uh.
Jay, you got to meet my mama, man. You ain't met my mom.
I can't
man.
Wait. I love moms. Yeah. Big moms.
I'm upset. All right, coming up, the nephew's new bit, Who You Mad At Now. It's coming up right after this. They're going to be mad at you. We'll be back.
All right, we back, y'all. Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann going to get us all caught up on today's national news. What's the latest from the White House? Why we say that every day? Cause it's
because
it's latest from the White House. I don't know why the hell.
Something.
I don't know why the hell my letter to some staff members is bigger than some damn White House.
Okay.
It's bigger than the FBI.
It's bigger than Russia and Comey.
Yeah, all this here. Because I wanted some peace.
Not to be ambushed.
Yeah. Damn, dog. I just asked for some peace. You can't walk up on Oprah and them. I'm just sitting there trying. Anyway, they're going to do a story on Eden, right? I don't even know what the hell going on. They want to. Kevin Frazier want to help me out there because he understand it. But I don't know. We're at 8:41, though.
on this here radio show.
Yeah. About an hour from now on this here radio show.
Yes. Yeah. Come on, Steve. Some things off your chest.
But you know what? We actually start now because this is the new segment called Who You Mad At Now. You can actually start now if you want to. You can call in and get it off your chest because you seem to be really hot right now.
You're saving yours.
8:41 Eastern.
8:41.
It's building up.
That is. Let's go to the phone. Let's find out who they mad at now.
Okay.
Nephew Tommy, who is this?
How you doing? It's Corey from Buffalo.
What's up, Corey? Who you mad at now, man?
Hey, I'm mad at The Rock. Every time you turn around, he on TV doing something. He's selling trucks. He doing all kind of commercials. You can't get no movie without him being in it. Samuel Jackson can't even get a job because of The Rock.
Damn.
If it ain't The Rock or Kevin Hart, you ain't in it. He done beat up everybody in wrestling. Now he done took over the Fast and Furious. Man,
The Rock. Diesel
done got mad. Can't be met without The Rock. I think he my pastor coming up this weekend. I don't know.
You mad at The Rock?
You mad at The Rock? Hey, that's a lovable guy.
Yeah, we don't judge what you're mad at. You mad at it? That's what you mad at. Okay.
Exactly. I don't even think he has to wear a shirt because his body just climate control. I don't never see The Rock sweat. You don't never see him in any precarious situation. You don't hear about him in the news. That's why I'm mad. The Rock needs to get some real life situations going on.
Well, hell. Hey, man, you ain't been hearing about me?
He got some real life situations.
Stay in the news. I don't even know why I'm in the news. When I read it, I be going, what the hell am I news for? And I'm sitting, I'm scared to talk to Corey because, hell, I got 5 TV shows. I know he's sick of my ass, too.
You need to be more like The Rock.
If he mad,
if I had rock. All them muscles, well, I really got 7 shows. They really gonna be pissed off in a minute. Cause,
oh, man.
Oh, Lord.
If he mad, thank you, rock, Corey. Boy, he got to be mad at Steve Harvey.
I think he gonna be my pastor come Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right, let's take another. Tommy? Yeah, I got another. Come on. Nephew Tommy, who's this?
This is Elle from Chicago. How are you, Tommy?
I'm good, baby. Tell me, Elle, who you mad at now, baby?
Man, I am livid with BTS. How in the fudging frat?
How?
I mean, yeah, they told me not to swear, so I'm trying my best, but I'm irritated. How in the fudging frat? The NBA gave you $1 million. Chance gave you $1 million. D. Rose gave you $1 million. For $3 million extra unfunded, unbudgeted dollars, you mean you simple not going to school, getting educated in a system that you're trying to corrupt? You can't find 3 more weeks of education for these kids? And then they come out the other day and say we $600 million in an educational deficit. What the heaven?
What the hell? Hey, you know what? I'm really more interested in how you cuss, really. I like your style of cussing. What the heaven? Okay. So you mad at the Chicago school
public
system?
Schools.
Public school
yeah,
system.
They can't count. They can't budget. They don't value the children. You $600 million in educational deficit, but you driving around in Cadillacs and Benz and a doggone president wife get escorts. What the fudge? Really, Chicago? Yeah. So,
I need you to really express that G in that fudge, though.
I need you to just go ahead and cuss, because this is throwing me off.
See, it can be done, Jay. It can be done.
Oh. All right. Thank you, L.
Dumbfounded and stuff. You know, we can't spell.
She said, we can't spell.
Thank you for calling, baby. I just want to know who you mad at now. That's all. Mm-hmm. What the fudge?
What the heaven?
Let's
you
take another
one. Mm-hmm.
Nephew Tommy, who is this?
Hey, this is Edward at Greenwood, South Carolina.
Greenwood, South Carolina, man. What's going on? Who you mad at now, Edward?
I'm mad at Trump, man. President Trump. He's allowing these roads, you know, get torn up. Good roads. And, you know, we can still have to pay for these roads, but the tax, the gas taxes are going up on these roads that haven't got fixed yet. You know, mm-hmm. And they're allowing the good roads to tear them up, but the bad roads, they're still going like they're normal. They're not fixing the bad roads.
Okay, they fixing the good road already fixed, and they fixing it even more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, what the hell are you talking about?
I have no
idea. The trucks.
Idea.
He's mad at the trucks for messing up the roads. That's what. Is that right, sir?
I'm mad at Ed. Trump.
No, he's mad at Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
He's mad at
he's
the
mad
president.
At Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Because he's not,
for
fix,
not
he's,
fixing.
He's not fixing
roads.
Roads.
Infrastructure. Mm. Yeah.
Ooh, the state level.
I know.
I did. I thought what I thought.
That's you're not mad problem. At the state, Edward?
Yeah, I'm mad at them too.
Oh. Hey, Edward, you mad at Steve Harvey too, Edward? Because you just mad at
people. Hey, mad at Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey.
Now that you mention it, I'm mad at that too.
What'd you say about Steve, Edward?
Nah, Steve Harvey, my man. That's my man. He's cool. I like the family feud. You know what I'm saying?
My
yeah.
Man.
All right.
Thank you, wife, man.
Me and my wife watch that all the time at night. And when I
hell
can't
yeah.
It, when I can't watch it at night, I'll be on the road. I'm a truck driver. And I be on the road, you know, and sometimes I can't watch it. But if I'm at home, I watch it sometimes.
You in the truck now,
hell
sir?
Yeah,
I'm in the truck driving.
Hit that horn for me. Hit the horn for me, man. Let me hear it.
There it is.
Yeah.
Now, you on the bad road or the good road right now, Edward?
I'm on an all right road. It's not good or bad, you know. It's all right, you know. But I can't just count. I think the government of South Carolina needs, you know, talk to these people about these roads, man. And it's, you know, and then we got to pay more gas taxes. Gas taxes price should be lower, but, you know, they're allowing it to go up now. So everybody in South Carolina going to be spending a lot more money than gas. And that's the top of us for taking a trip.
Okay.
All right.
All right. He was educating me on right. something. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, that's good tea. Yeah. Jay, you from South Carolina?
Yeah, don't put me in that. Okay. All right. Blame well, it on Jay.
I'm originally from Freeport, New York.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Well, you got more South Carolina in your voice than New York in your voice. You really do. You've
probably been down there a long time.
A long time, right.
Anybody else you mad at here before we go?
Nah, that's it. But, hey, I want to holler at Tommy and see if he can do a prank call tomorrow morning on my wife, though, man.
And then she going to be mad at you. We can work out the prank call. I can definitely do that. And there it is, Uncle Steve. Who you mad at now?
Yeah.
That's all.
I like The Rock.
Mad at The Rock.
His body climate control. Yeah.
I'm mad because he's in shape. That's what the hell I'm mad at. I could look like that if I put the time in, but I don't have the time to do
it. You can get it.
I could get like it if I want to. The way I'm going to put jokes together if I'm in the gym.
I don't know when you're going to have time to write if you on curls.
Yeah. You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. Do you guys have any Mother's Day this weekend? You know, a big day. Big day, Mother's Day, yeah. Where we celebrate moms. You guys have any good childhood memories?
Yes.
Or any memories, period?
I always tried to outdo my sister every year. That was my goal. To make sure I gave my mom a bigger gift than my sister. Even when I didn't have money. I lied about it. I was like, I'm going to get you this. But one year I gave my mother a color television set.
Uh-huh.
And the big screen, the biggest one that they had. And my sister was like, that's the first time I heard my sister curse. She went, damn, all I got is a card.
So you won that year. You won.
You know, that's an old story when somebody say a color television set.
Yeah.
Like you had an option of buying the black and white.
Black and
or
white,
something.
Right. Well, back then you did.
What about you, McDonald?
It reminds me of that scene in Johnson's Family Vacation with you and Sid, and y'all were trying to outdo each other.
Yeah, I never had to compete. Well, I was the youngest one in my family, so my brothers and sisters
were
11 years older than me. My youngest brother 11 years older than me, so they had money. I didn't, you know. I got my mama evening in Paris, man, every year.
What is that, perfume?
Yeah,
what
girl,
was that?
You ain't know what evening in Paris?
I didn't know what that was.
Now, is that better
taking
than
a guess?
Is that better than white diamonds?
Hell no.
He said it.
White diamonds?
No. Dog, I was so poor. I gave my mama the perfume for Mother's Day, and at Christmas I got her the powder.
Oh, you had to break it up. Yeah, you couldn't get the whole set.
Boy,
yeah.
One time Kmart had that set, man, for $8.
What?
Woo! I saved all year long, man. Got down there and bought the last gift set. $8. The powder, the perfume, the body wash, baths. Oh, man. I gave her that, man. I cried.
Aww.
Came in
did
that little ultra dark. But hell yeah, man. My mom wore that evening in Paris. But when White Diamonds came out, Liz Taylor.
Yeah,
Well, my mama wanted that white diamond. Good boy, if I could get me some white diamonds, slick.
Aww.
My daddy went out there and bought her that white diamonds. Boy, my mama wore that. Woof. So then I said, okay.
So
okay, okay. He going to sit up here and try to show out because he working. Okay. I'm going to save all my damn money this year. I was hustling and bought my mama some white diamonds for Christmas. Yeah, boy.
That's so nice that you had a goal. You worked for it. You worked hard. You know.
But yeah, moms are appreciative. You could give moms anything. Yeah. They just love that you give them something you care. Like,
I picked her flowers one day. Boy, my mama said, that's so beautiful. She didn't know I took them out to people's yards on the way.
Just stopping by.
Man, then that damn Miss Payne come over. Your son took 4 tulips out my yard. I said, oh, you old bitter heifer. See me trying to
you did steal them, dog.
Yeah,
but
you know
what she gonna tell, though? I had a nice bouquet, man. I went around on a couple other blocks, had my bike, put them down in my little satchel I had across my little banana seat, man. Had a little saddlebag and collected. I had a nice, some lilies, all that. Lilies, tulips, some dandelions. I had a nice bouquet, man. Creative little dude. Fixed it all up, man. Took it in the house. Then this heifer gonna come over later talking about your son stole. I was looking at this.
Careful. Funk, you ain't supposed to steal on your street, though. At least go two streets
go
over.
Go two streets over.
Dog, everybody ain't have nice flower bed. I had to go streets over. Miss Payne had a nice yard. Ladies and gentlemen, don't all worry right. about that. Here she is with today's national headline news. Oh, hell, I'm going to tell you, he stole four tulips. So damn what? Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you. I guess you got to do what you got to do. Anyway, good morning, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. Good morning, C. Shirley, Carla, everybody out there, Junior. Sad news for a lot of people in Florida. Former Florida Representative Corrine Brown, after an historic 25-year career in Congress, she's been found guilty of taking money from a charity that was purported to be giving scholarships to poor students. Corrine Brown is 70 years old. During the trial, prosecutors outlined a pattern of fraud by Brown and her top aide that they say included using hundreds of thousands of dollars from this charity called the One Door for Education Foundation for lavish parties and trips and shopping excursions. Corrine Brown convicted of 18 of the 22 charges against her, including lying on her taxes and on her congressional financial disclosure forms. Corrine Brown faces a stiff prison term when sentenced, as she may be appealing. The Trump White House still handling questions over the president's firing of FBI Director James Comey because it seems the story keeps changing. First, the official reason was that because of the way Comey handled the Clinton email stuff, but lawmakers from both sides doubted that one, since even Clinton said she felt Comey's 11th-hour announcement of a new probe at least partially derailed her White House chances. Then the president claimed it was because Comey was ruining the agency and its morale, and then that charge was refuted by acting FBI Director Andrew McKay before a congressional committee.
He's a showboat. He's a grandstander. The FBI has been in turmoil. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that.
I can tell you that Director Comey enjoyed broad support within the FBI and still does to this day.
By the way, it's not now known how long Andrew McCabe is going to have that acting director position. Then Trump spoke to NBC's Lester Holt and brought up the Russia election meddling probe.
I actually asked him. I said, if it's possible, would you let me know, am I under investigation? He said, you are not under investigation.
So that was that. Then Vice President Pence said the president was merely following the recommendation of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. But Trump told NBC he intended to fire Comey no matter what the Justice Department said. So it's kind of keeps changing. And I guess it had to happen, or maybe not. Anyway, just in time for Mother's Day, you can choose to give mommy some KFC chicken plus KFC's new romance novel called KFC's Wings of Desire.
To call their affair passionate was an understatement. Sometimes it seemed as though Madeline and Colonel Sanders had been made to love each other, and they tried to do so.
Really? Anyway, it comes with any chicken order. It's 96 pages. You can download it free from Amazon. One reviewer said it was like eating a bucket of the Colonel's chicken. Okay, I'm done. Eugene the Butterfly, 20 minutes after the hour. Stay tuned to Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Here we go. Y'all know what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, it's
him. Come
on,
Steve. You can do it.
Eugene.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. Stephen, Tommy, Shirley, Carla Jr., J. Anthony Brown. Let me say this to all of you all. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're not ready for this. Wednesday night, of course, was the opening night for the play in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
Mama's Boy. That I'm one of the stars. Anyway, there was a special guest in the audience on Thursday night who came to see the show. And guess what? They are going to tell you exactly who was the greatest one in this show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all of my crew here, J. Anthony Brown came to the show Thursday night.
Yeah, I went to the play.
All right, Jay.
Wait, Jay.
Yeah, let me say this. Because for years, Jay, I've been telling them who is the greatest one in this body that represents this show, that represents the body. And he was able to see Tommy do his part, and he was able to see me do my part. So, hands down, here it is. He's gonna let y'all know. He's finna set the record straight up in this piece and let y'all know who was the greatest of all. Go ahead, Jay.
First of all, the play was wonderful. Everybody did a great job.
That's good.
It was really good. Okay. Funny. It was nice. It was good.
Get to the part.
Hands down.
Here
the person who just stole the show.
Oh, come on.
And whenever they came out, they just took over.
Really? Come on, Jay.
When they came out, people went, oh my, they were just crazy.
Yes.
Come on, Jay. Come on.
No doubt in my mind.
In your mind.
It was definitely.
You were
definitely.
You were
yeah,
there.
Because I was sitting right
there. You were there.
Nephew Tommy stole the show.
What? Go ahead, Tommy.
Tommy, you did.
All right, Tommy. Go ahead, boy.
Yeah. Thanks, that boy got chopped. He got apple. Yeah. Hey, man, one thing about Tommy, he can act.
He can act. Tommy did, man, he did the damn thing. I'm telling you.
So golly. Go ahead.
Yeah. James Anthony Brown.
Yes. What?
Tell it to
you. You did not just sit here and do this. I set this up. You didn't.
Told the truth.
Totally did.
You came backstage and told me I did an excellent job.
You did do an excellent job. I'm not saying you did. You did an excellent job.
Why would you sit here in front of my peers, in front of my coworkers, in front of all of my friends that are listening?
I'm not your peer.
I ain't your friend.
Why would you sit? You don't know what you've done. And you're supposed to be on my side.
I think he meant you were good.
I'm not saying you weren't good, Butterfly. You did great.
You sat here and told him Tommy stole the show. That's what you sat here and told these people.
Well, it is Tommy. Tommy better actor. You can't act.
My friend Felix is listening to this.
Aww.
How come Felix wasn't there?
Felix is coming Saturday night, but now I guess he's going to be coming to look at Tommy because he's going to want to see what Jay talking about. Why would you do this?
He didn't say you weren't good, Butterfly.
He didn't say I was not great either. And I thought I was great. And he came backstage and told me I did a wonderful job. Why would you?
You thought you was great. He told you you did a good job. You always think you great.
No, I was good, Steve. I was really, really, really great. I was. Why would you? James Anthony Brown.
Butterfly, I'm sorry. You asked me to tell the truth, and I did. I'm sorry.
Are you sure, Jay? You saw
Tommy
the play.
Tommy stole the show.
He said it again.
Jay Anthony Brown, it's on in your life. Watch yourself. Watch yourself.
All right. Jay is going to murder another hit when we come back. Calm down, Butterfly.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
We back. It's time to murder a hit, hey, Jay?
Yes, sir. Oh, Mr. Harvey. Yes, Mr. Harvey. Yes.
Get it right. 8:41. We're going to settle myself. 8:41 Eastern on this show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Going to get it said.
That's right, Mr. Harvey.
what he said.
All right, here we go. This song is by Yuma. Is that her name? Yuma, mm-hmm. Usher's protege.
Yuna and Usher.
You know. Song was called Crushed, but this song has what we did a little different. It's about men who have a little problem in the bedroom. Check it out.
Hello there, sugar. You reached Mr. Hard Rock. Mr. Hard Rock's not home right now. I'm out doing hard rock things. Leave a message and I'll call you back. That won't be hard to do. Get it?
I'm calling just to give advice to you.
Okay, all right.
You had trouble last time, boo. So get those pills, that's blue. Your work keeps going down, 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 down.
What keep going down? What you talking about?
You keep letting me down, 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 down. You are not the man you say you are.
It's a damn lie.
Yeah. Stop telling ladies that you'll drive them crazy. 2 minutes and you're asleep.
Ain't me.
You keep letting me down, down, down,
ain't me at
down,
all.
Down, 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 down.
Mm-mm. No, no way.
I'll stop coming around, round, 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 round.
No, she got it wrong, brother.
Your wood keeps going down.
My
down,
wood
down,
keeps going down.
Down, 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 down.
My
down,
wood
down.
Going down. My wood ain't going down.
I'll stop coming around, round, 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 round. You keep letting me down, 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 down. I'll stop coming around, round, 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 round.
She might have the wrong number, but that ain't none of me. She looking for Mr. Softy.
What?
I don't have them problems. I don't have them problems. You can check me out every Thursday at J-Spot, Los Angeles, California, 16th and 17th, Laugh Comedy Lounge, and Killeen, Texas, and May 27th, Jambox, Dallas, Texas.
Okay. You think Eugene will come see me?
I don't know, Jay. You cut him pretty deep today, man.
I don't think he's going to come.
Yeah. Oh, no, he through with you.
Yeah, he done.
That dude right there, he don't come back. He don't snap.
Did he call me? Did he insult me right before he walked that room? Yeah, he said.
Probably did. He called you a name.
Yeah, called me a name. Okay. I thought we were friends. Yeah.
Y'all was, man.
No, no. See, as soon as you go against him, he turned.
Yeah. I think it rhymes with hunk.
Chunk.
Didn't go good, Jay. I'm telling you now.
He asked me to tell the truth. He's bitter, Jay.
He's pretty upset, huh?
Oh, really? Yeah. He doesn't let stuff go, does he?
No. Not at all.
And now what is he upset about?
He's upset because I said Tommy was a better actor in the play. Tommy did better. Mm-hmm. And that really upset him.
Well, he thought you were going to say it was him because you went backstage after the play and told him he was really good.
He was really good, but he wasn't the best. Tommy was the best.
Well...
I'm going to have problems, huh?
Yeah, I think you misled him into thinking he's
my life's going to be a living hell.
Yeah.
No, your whole first year here.
Yeah, because he does not let stuff go.
Wait a minute. Mm-mm. Already.
Jay, don't let this bring you down, though.
I already got the church lady mad at me.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well... Maybe if you go see it again.
No, I'm not going back.
You'll have a different perspective. Who knows? Different perspective. You never know, Jay. He and Steve, they speak, but they're not on great terms. Yeah.
So you don't like Steve either? No, I mean, Mr. Harvey.
Yeah, Mr.
Harvey. No, I don't care if he don't like me.
But I'm new here. I need friends.
Hey, coming up is the nephew and his prank phone call. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
At the top of the hour, about 5 minutes after the hour, we got Strawberry Letter. Mm-hmm. But you know what we got right now, though?
What's that?
The food.
Prank phone call time. You already know what it is. No, you don't. What? So let me tell you. I want to date your mama.
Here we go.
Mother's Day weekend.
I want to date your mama.
That's the prank. That's the prank.
Happy Mother's Day.
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to reach Miss Burns. This is James, this is her son. How you doing, man? My name is Gordon. Gordon. I just recently joined the church, man, within the last month, and I was trying to get in touch with Miss Burns. One of the members gave me a number, but I guess they must have gave me the wrong number, I guess. Is this a home number or what is this?
Oh, hold up. Who is this again?
My name is Gordon. Gordon. I'm a new member at the church.
Yeah.
Is this your number?
Yeah, man. This is my phone number. I'm James. I'm her son.
Oh, that's your mom. Okay, that's your mother.
Right.
All right. Well, yeah. My bad, man. I was trying to get in touch with Miss Burns. Now, do you have a cell or a home number somewhere I can get in touch with Miss Burns?
Wait. Tell me. Your name is what? Gordon.
Gordon. Right. I just joined the church, man. So I might not have met you yet, James.
Okay. Well, God bless you, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Is there any way I could get your mom's home number from you?
You just joined the church. I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to talk to her. I mean, is there a message I could pass on to her, though?
I'm trying to see if it's all right for me to take her out. I've been seeing her for the last...
Hold up. You were just saying that you're a new member to the church. And somebody gave you, or they were attempting to give you my mother's number, and you're asking me if you could take her out, man?
Well, I wasn't asking you. I thought I had her phone number. I guess they gave me your number by mistake. You know, that's my reason for calling. I thought I was going to get her. I want to take her out, you know, maybe to dinner or something.
Well, I'll be quite honest, man. I just came back home from overseas from fighting and everything, man. And, I mean, you know, my pops just passed away not too long ago, and I ain't too keen on my mama going out with somebody. And besides, you don't even sound like you her age. She in her 60s, man. How old are you, man?
I'm 36.
Get the hell out of here. You how old, man?
I'm 36.
I'm 34. What the is you doing? You do realize my mom is pushing 60, right?
Well, you know what, man? I look at it like James, right? James, I look at it like it's, you know, age ain't nothing but a number, man. It's what's in your heart, man, and how you carry yourself, you know?
Yeah, but so my mama, but my mama ain't no cougar like that, and I know she ain't coming after you. right, now, I remember her telling me that she tried some new things at this church, but going out with some that's 30, how old are you? You a baby, man.
I'm 36, dude.
Man, you like my brother or something, man. Ain't no way in the world my mama gonna be dating.
Okay, James, let me say this, man. First of all, I didn't even know I was calling you. Second of all, I'm calling to speak with her. I'm not calling trying to get permission from you. Miss Burns is a grown woman. Miss Burns can decide.
Whoa. Talking about that, I don't think you heard me, man. I just came back from fighting overseas. My pops passed away not too long ago. I am the man of the house. Let's get that straight right now, all right? I don't care if I'm still living at home or not. I'm the man of this house, all right? You calling to ask my mama on a date? Okay. Yeah, you might as well just stick to church, dog, because, you know, as I said, be blessed. But it ain't going to be no blessing from me to you. I tell you that right now.
Okay, I'm not looking for a blessing from you at all, brother.
You might want to look for a blessing.
I respect the fact that you've been overseas and you've been fighting for this country, okay? But if I decide I want to speak to Miss Burns about going out, I think Miss Burns has every right to decide if she would like to go out with Gordon or not. And Gordon wants to take her out.
Hold the up. Look, bro, I don't care how old you say you are, all right? Number one, you're too young, as I already mentioned, all right? This ain't going down with you and my mom.
Okay,
straight up.
Hey, man, that's for your mama to decide.
No. You bringing up my mama, you letting the word your mama come out your mouth again, that's going to get you up, all right? I don't know where you from. I don't give a how old you are.
I'm 36, man.
I know what church my mama go to, and it ain't going to be her and you. You ain't going to be asking her out, all right? I don't give a what it takes. I will show up on Sunday, catch your in the pulpit or wherever you're going to be sitting, in the back, in the choir. It don't matter. Something is going down. You are not going to get with my mama like that. You got that?
That's up for your mama to decide. If your mama want to go out with me to have dinner, ain't nothing wrong with that, man.
I'm deciding it right now. It ain't going to happen. I told you before, be blessed or get your whooped. You got two choices, all right? I didn't fight overseas 3 years to come back and also deal with my daddy dying and then come back. Man, I'm suffering from PTSD, dog. I don't know what the I'm going to do, unless you want to get it like that.
You suffer from what?
A PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and I will release all that on you. You got that? I don't play that.
Hey, man, listen, I don't want no trouble.
It don't matter to me. You can catch it.
Okay, look, man, listen. I ain't trying to have no trouble out you, man. All I'm finna say is this right here. I'll talk to your mom on Sunday, okay?
You ain't gonna talk to me. Are you not hearing me, man?
I'm okay.
I'm going crazy right now.
Okay, can I say this? Can I say one more thing to you, man, before you explode?
You ain't got nothing else to say.
I got one more thing before you explode, man. Is you listening?
Yeah, man.
James?
What?
Hey, man, I want to tell you this, man. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your mama got me to prank phone call you.
Get the f*** out of here. Is this who?
Hey, man, this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, man. Your mama told me, she said, my son been overseas. He been fighting. I'm glad to have him home. She said, we got to get him back in the spirit of laughing.
Man, my mama, are you kidding me, man?
We got you good.
We listen to this show overseas, man.
First of all, I got to say thank you for fighting for this country. I want to ask you one more thing. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Man, nothing but the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You get it overseas and in the States, though. Thanks, man.
There it is. Happy Mother's Day, okay? I want to date your mama, all right? I want to date your mama.
There's really no nice way to say that, is
it? You got to be very stern when you say it. I want to date your mama.
Your mama.
Catch me tonight. Tonight, I'm actually in Austin, Texas with the play Mama's Boy. Tonight is Austin, Texas,
you
and then back
so good.
Thank you, sir. And then back to Dallas for Saturday and Sunday. There's two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. Tonight, Austin, Texas, and then Saturday and Sunday back in Dallas. Tickets on sale right now. Doing good, too.
Oh, that's great, Tommy. Congratulations. It's getting real crowded at the top, according to Forbes. Sean Diddy Combs maintained the top spot in this year's list of richest people in hip-hop. I didn't know that. But Jay-Z is right there. I would have thought it would be Jay-Z. Jay-Z is right there. Bad Boy Entertainment founder Puffy once again topped Forbes' list. He has a net worth of, anybody want to guess? Steve, you want to guess how much Diddy's worth?
Nope, just concerned with my own.
$820 million.
Wow.
$820.
How much? $820?
Okay. Yes, $820.
He can't round that out. That ain't no money. it's always somebody. That's all he got.
That's a real hater right there.
That's from your spirit right there. He can't round that out.
Jay-Z's right behind him with $810 million. That's a 30% increase from 2016. Dr. Dre slid into number three with a still impressive $740 million, Steve.
How much?
$740 million.
Change.
Wow, good man.
I thought he had some money.
He broke Jay. Yeah.
He broke.
Yeah, but anyway, Dr. Dre has $740 million thanks to mostly to his share of his beat sale to
them
Apple
beats, man.
Back in 2014. Yeah. Some savvy investments. All right. Coming up next, Strawberry Letter. Oof. Yeah.
They're strong.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, the Strawberry Letter is coming up next. But first, Steve, now, you're a grandfather, so I have to come to you.
Oh, I thought you were still talking about this money. Okay.
you're still marinating on that?
Yeah, you didn't want to comment on that.
No, but I'm sure thinking about it, though.
We turn to our grandparents. Like I said, you're a grandfather. We turn to our grandparents for parenting advice. We turn to them for knowledge. But according to a new study, their expertise might not be as helpful as we think. Grandparents' baby raising practices could be a bit dated, okay? Almost a quarter of nanas and papas didn't know that babies should be put to sleep on their backs. Not their tummies, not their sides. They should be put to sleep on their backs. And almost half of them, that's like 44% of them, believed ice baths are a good way to lower high fever. But they can actually lower body temperature too much, leading to a risk for hyperthermia. Okay, Steve, I gotta ask you, are you doing some dated practices in your grandfathering, I should say?
No, I don't do nothing. I know how to put a baby to sleep. That's all I care about.
How do you do it?
I play with you for a little while. I put my little grandson Noah in the little life raft, little ring that fit under the kid's arm. They sit in the seat. Uh-huh. But the water ring fits under their arm. Mm-hmm. And then I push him out to the middle of the pool. He loves that. Then he got to kick about 1,000 times to get back over to the side.
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as he get out there, I just push his ass back out there again. About that fourth push, his little ass is exhausted.
From all that kicking.
Yeah, I got a picture of him sleep in the pool. Everybody mad at me when they come home. Why is the grandbaby sleep in the pool? That's where he fell asleep at. Yeah, you want me to wake his ass up? Let the baby sleep.
Oh, goodness, Steve.
In the water.
Yeah. Sleep water. Now, man, we got a heated pool. That water warm like bath water. His ass went to sleep. He was comfortable.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, time to get to the letter.
1,000 kicks to get back to the side. Push his ass out there four times. His ass is done.
Papa Harvey. All right, let's get to the Strawberry Letter.
All right, buckle up. Hold on tight. Supposedly, it's a good one. Strawberry Letter. 23.
Well, it's really short, too. Subject, living hell.
Okay, I've been there.
Dear Stephen Shirley, ever since I got married, my mother-in-law is such a black you-know-what. Hmm. One time, my husband took me to her house to see her, and she slammed the door right in my face, took a knife and pointed it at me. She called the police and said I tried to hit her over the head with a rock. Stephen Shirley, I want to throw her over a bridge or push her in front of a car. Help me, please. This is like throw mama from the train. That's it. That's the letter. That's the letter. All right. To me, you don't have a mother-in-law problem. You have a husband issue here. You know, his mom is crazy, obviously. You know, she's rude. Who would slam the door in someone's face? Who would take a knife and point it at them and then call the police? You don't mention if anything happened, why you guys don't like each other. You don't mention any of that. So I'm just going to assume that she just doesn't think you're good enough for her precious son and that you took her son away from her. But again, her son, your husband, needs to step in here. I mean, he certainly cannot let his mom treat you this way, disrespect you this way. You are his wife. You know, he has to leave and cleave. He's got to leave and his parents and his family and cleave to you. You are his wife. Yeah, again, I don't know what happened to make her think this way or feel this way about you. It sounds to me like she's just crazy. And he's a mama's boy and he needs to step in and do something. Steve?
Well, well, well. So short, so sweet. Mm-hmm. So little time. Your mama-in-law is the mama-in-law from hell.
Yes.
Okay, get in line. A lot of people got that problem. I happen to have a really, really cool set of in-laws. My father-in-law and my mother-in-law is two of the nicest people I've ever met.
You mentioned that.
Yeah. I mean, really, they're just really, really sweetheart of people. You know. You wasn't that lucky.
No.
You done ran up into this bat out of hell. Now, your husband's standing there, obviously ain't doing nothing about it. Because either one or two things is happening here. Okay. Either your husband's scared of his mama, too, or your husband don't like you either. Now, sometimes you just got to face it.
You're stupid.
Sometimes you have to face it.
What is it again, Steve?
Either yeah. Your husband...
Uh-huh.
Is scared of his mama too.
Yeah.
Or your what? Husband don't like you either. And him and his mama done tagged up and decided this is how we gonna get rid of you.
Get her, mama, get her.
Stab her, mama. Mama stab. Hit her in the head with her.
You're so crazy.
Call the police on her. If your husband ain't doing nothing, I'm only assuming he don't like you either. See, you didn't say nothing about your husband in the letter. But you ain't said nothing about how the hate started.
Right.
It started somewhere. I'm thinking I'm just going to take a different approach. Maybe this letter got something to do with you.
Mm.
I got your mom-in-law stain. I got bat out of hell, heifer. Heifer gone wild. You know, it's a new video series. We're gonna start. Heifer's gone wild. You know, I got a girl going wild video. We're going to start a video. We're going to tape mom-in-law. Help us go wild. But maybe you done something to mom-in-law that's making you want to push her in front of a car. Because I'm trying to figure out what's stopping you from pushing her out in front of the car. She walked, don't she?
Prison, maybe.
Well, you know. Even if she don't walk, in a wheelchair. Push her. Slide her right on off the curb. Let her deal with it. Or if she don't want to, if she got the brakes on the wheelchair, just push her forward, make her fall forward out the wheelchair into the traffic. I had a lot of ways
would
you could
you
do
stop?
This.
Stop.
But I think what's really wrong is
what
your husband don't care how your mama, how his mama talk to you, because he pretty much agree with his mama.
Doesn't seem like it.
Maybe it could be that. Now, if you're a sweetheart of a person, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Maybe you're just a perfect little angel. And you really are dealing with this heifer from hell. Either way, when we come back, what you want to know is you want to throw her over a bridge or push her in front of a car. What are some of the other things you could do that could get you less jail time? I have a list of those things when we come back. Stuff you can do to your mom-in-law that'll get you less jail time than throwing her over the bridge or pushing her, okay?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, come on, Steve, with your response to part two of the Strawberry Letter right now. Let's have it.
Bye. Oh, if you got a mother-in-law so that's giving you the blues, the heifer from hell, and you want to push out in front of a car, throw off a bridge, don't do that. That's a lot of time. She ain't worth that. There are things you could do to old women Battle Axes. Evil women. Heifers from hell. Ain't gonna get you no jail time.
Mm. What?
Hide all her wigs. Just hide them. Care where you put them. Just hide them.
They got
slap
a lot
her.
Of them.
Just haul off, slap her, and run. That really piss old people off when you run. Because what they going to do now?
They can't catch
you. Any chase. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on now. You can start a rumor about it at your church.
Like
prostitution.
An old lady?
Yeah, yeah. That don't ever go good.
Prostitute?
Because then it becomes, who want that? What it cost? You know, that's when people can really talk about it. Well, how she decide to sell that? Who want it?
Oh, man.
What an old man. What a fool. See, you got this is how you hurt you. Sell her car keys to a crackhead for $20. See, crackhead don't have logic no way. I get these car keys, 20. I don't sell the car, $1,000. I ain't crack rest of summer. Sell her car keys to a crackhead for $20. He'll buy it. All he see is the upside. Go in the basement when she sleep late at night and keep saying her name in the air vent.
Scary.
Drive her ass crazy. Yes. Just go in the basement and say her name. Ethel.
She'll think that's it.
Ethel. I'm just telling you stuff you can do to your mom-in-law.
I don't get it right there.
Get her with. Take her teeth when she put them on the side of the bed in the jar and just take the whole jar. Just put them on top of the refrigerator. She'll never think to look on top of the refrigerator. Here's a good one. Sprinkle, grind up some X-Lax. Sprinkle it in all her food. And then just put a chair in the hallway where the bathroom at and just sit there. And just watch her run back and forth all day. And every time she shut the door, just talk to her.
Ethel. We gotta go. You're crazy, Steve. We have to go. Come on. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. All right? Thank you.
All right. So, hey, we done. Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. What do y'all want for Mother's Day? Speaking of mothers, Carly just walked in here. She's a brand new mama. She ain't going to get nothing for Mother's Day. Because DJ ass don't know how to shop. All he do is eat. BJ
but her husband does. Her husband knows.
Oh, yeah. He don't even know he on the hook for that. What's up, BJ? Every time he see me, he start crying.
Paw. See, we just talked about
Paw is you when the baby starts.
That's so cute,
yeah.
Steve.
Well, I'm at the studio and the kids just stopped in. Soon as he see me, he start crying. And then, and then I got to yoke him up, take him and squeeze him and hold him down, everything. He look at the head, says, I don't know what's wrong with him. He'd be all right, though.
I think he's excited, maybe, to see.
No, I'm going
to
get in there. I'm going to choke him up, though.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
We're going to stop all that. Don't worry about that, Shirley. This ain't your grandbaby.
It sounds crazy.
I choked mine up. It creep all you want. He a boy. He going to get yoked up.
You'll make him tough, aren't you?
Yeah. Sitting up there with your four teeth in his
mouth. You going to make him tough? How old is he?
Oh, yeah.
You don't know. Is he one? Is he two?
He just big. That's all I need to know. He can stand up by himself right now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
How many grandkids you got, Steve?
Four now, man. Two boys and two girls.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's perfect.
That is.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you get involved with all of them, that is a lot
BJ
of fun.
BJ see me. He started crying. Noah see me. He busts out laughing.
That's the one that love you, huh? That's the favorite.
Rose see me. She come to me. L see me. She go the other way.
So you got two that are crazy about you and two that are afraid of you.
Yeah. Noah is the one I put in the swimming pool and pushed him out there and made him do 1,000 kicks.
Oh, God. But I bet it would be fun having you as Papa because you're funny.
Oh, good time.
They're going to understand. They're going to all understand who got the damn money around here.
Yeah.
But you know, like, when I'm at home in Atlanta, they all love me because they come in the office. I ain't got nothing but candy and cookies in my desk. I control my kids with sweets.
Like our parents did us.
Yeah, man. Because now, like, Carly and Morgan are, like, really conscientious moms. Like, the little baby, he be drinking turmeric milk and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Just trifling ass mess. You know, I slip him a little can of Carnation condensed milk, but without thinning it out, just let them have it straight syrup.
Carnation milk, boy.
God, they love that, man.
That's just straight sugar.
Man, they be trying to put their tongue down in the can and everything.
I got that wrapper in my head right now.
They can't have that kind of sugar on their gums like that.
That's what granddads do. Oh, my goodness.
You shut up, Carla.
Oh, man.
For this, Steve.
Yeah, I don't get all that. They get Oreo cookies, everything.
So just coming in when their teeth come in, they're just they need to come right back out.
Carly is a new mama. They doing all that new stuff. You know, they drink goat's milk and turmeric milk
goat's
and
milk.
All
the healthy
baby
stuff.
Eats celery and all this here. He ain't having no damn fun.
But he doesn't know.
His little ass having nutritional snacks, stuff like that. This boy over here got a handful of wheatgrass trying to make it work. I put the boy on to junk. I turn him out. I got Slim Jims in the office. He don't know how good
Slim
that
Jim.
Is.
Slim Jim. 7 to a Slim Jim. Yeah. Steve, that's adult food, and it's wrong for adults, so you know it's wrong for kids.
Let me tell you something. You give a baby a Slim Jim, he your friend the rest of his life. Because they can hold it. It's skinny. Yeah. And it's like, but you got to get that mild, though. You get that spicy. That throw their ass into something.
See, they can't digest that. Their belly. No. Oh, my God.
They ain't so got crying. To digest it.
What? Huh? You're
they colons ain't even that long yet.
How do you know how long colons are?
It just go in and come out.
Oh, my goodness.
You're way too much.
Too much.
All right, coming up, we've been promising it all morning long, 8:41 Eastern. Steve Harvey has something to say to you.
Yeah, well.
To you.
Whatever.
You know who you are.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, we all know about it because, of course, we read the internet and we know you. There's this email floating around that you put out, and it's been grossly misunderstood. We just wanted to for you to have an opportunity to speak about it to us. And we're really not supposed to be here because, according to the internet, you fired all of us anyway.
Yeah,
but we're here.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
What? I mean, but you know what? It's like this. You know, it's sort of crazy because the internet is just a space where people can, a lot of cowards can just take a keyboard and just write what they want to write without any context to it. And so what happened at the beginning of the year, in August, the beginning of season 5, 4 TV seasons has gone by here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we taped our last show yesterday in Chicago.
Okay. Yeah,
and,
awesome.
You know, the show is moving to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a business decision, but this is a business decision I can make by myself. You know, look, you can't move a TV show by yourself because you say we move it. Because, number one, I don't put up the money as the production company. I'm in a partnership with IMG, Endemol, and NBC. Mm-hmm. I'm in a partnership. I happen to be the star of the show, and it's called The Steve Harvey Show, and I have a say-so. But I'm in a partnership. It's a business that I'm in. And people who put up the money have a say-so in who gets hired and where it goes and how much we have to spend for a budget. So the decision was made in March, finally, to move the show to L.A. The day after the decision was made, the president of Endemol flew to Chicago to inform all the people on the show, all the employees who have a contract with Endemol. The president, Chris Abrego, great guy, came up to Chicago and told everybody that the show was moving. Back in March, that was the day after it was finalized with me. It was in the works for a while, but it got finalized in March. The next day, the president came up and talked to everybody. Now, prior to that, I had written a letter to some staff members in August because for 4 years, I tried to have an open door policy, a very approachable policy. Hey, look, just come up to me, talk to me, whatever you need. But so many people just took advantage of it, man. So, I mean, if I come out my door, people were at my door. If I come off the set, people waiting on me in the hallway. I get to my office door, people be in my office door. You know, I just felt like I was getting ambushed just over and over and over. And I didn't have a space. I would be sitting in the makeup chair. People walk in the dressing room without knocking. I mean,
So you didn't have a moment to yourself.
No.
Bombarded is the word.
was just, I just felt like I was, all of my time was occupied. So I said, at the beginning of season five, I've got to carve out some me time. I got so many jobs, and all my jobs, I'm very approachable. People can come up to me. So beginning of season five on the talk show, I sent out a letter to staff saying stuff like, I didn't want to be bombarded in the hallway. I don't want to be ambushed. I don't want you waiting outside my dressing room. No meetings in my dressing room. No stopping by or popping in. No one. People just stop by and pop in. Don't come in my dressing room unless you're invited. Do you understand what it's like to be a celebrity? You already don't have much of your time. And people walk in your dressing room without knocking? Let me tell you something. Try to walk in Oprah's dressing room. Just see if you can get in there. Go to Ellen. Go to Dr. Phil. Go to anybody. Mm-hmm. But because I'm a comedian and I'm in the happy business, people just took advantage of it for 4 years. So I decided to stop. Stop opening my dressing room door. If you open my door, expect to be removed. I had to write it out like that. And I wrote it myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the couple of times I was on your show, Steve, I was amazed because just walking to your dressing room, there are people lined up on either side of the hallway.
I saw it.
Yeah, to get to you when you're in your dressing room. They're coming in while you're getting dressed, they're in. They have papers in their hand. They're asking you questions. They want you to sign stuff. I mean, it was just ridiculous. While you're eating, they're talking to you.
Seriously.
I mean,
I can't even have lunch.
Yeah.
And so it became absolutely unbearable for me because I had this policy where I allowed people to approach me. Mm-hmm. I decided on year five to stop that. It wasn't mean-spirited. I just sent it to everybody. And at the end of it, I said, if you're reading this, I mean you.
It means you. You.
And that's what I put out there. I put everything I wanted, either knock or use the doorbell. I even installed the doorbell this year so you can ring the doorbell. I mean, people would just walk into my dressing room. But I got three sections in it, so I got a private area. I got a little area where I can get some rest if I need it. But people just walk in, and it became just unbearable for me. And so I issued this letter. Now, the show moves, find out that we're moving in March. The man who signs all the contract came up, Chris Abrego, great guy, very smart, came up the next day and straightened everybody out, told him we were moving. Now all of a sudden is, Steve ain't told us we're moving. Hey, man, do you know how many TV shows I've been on where they come in and they tell me your show is canceled? Ain't no we moving. Your show is canceled. You know how many times I've come to work and find out we don't have no work? You know how many times they done took our radio show off of stations with no warning? We've lost markets, gained markets, gotten markets back. It's the business we're in. I wish everybody nothing but the best. You know, man, and I've constantly told my staff members, none of this is forever for all of us. You know, one day, you know, we're going to be in a position where we're going to have to move on. None of you will work with me forever. I've always said this. Now, little do I know, even to me, how God would move this thing around and change it. It's really gotten to the point where I'm just really tired of people, man, just saying what they want to say about me without knowing the truth. It's been a great run in Chicago, but I'm in too many cities too many times, and it's a very difficult life I have, and I got to condense all this to make it a better lifestyle for me. I wish everybody the best. I'm sorry they felt that way.
Yeah. But meanwhile, we will not look you in the eye. We will not walk with you. We will not breathe when you breathe.
Look at TV when he's looking at television.
I bet you I walk with you. I wish you would tell me I can't walk with you.
I bet you won't. And hey, Jay, if you see me in that bathroom, I bet you better not be in that bathroom.
We can't be when you be.
I'll tell you what, we'll be back with more of what y'all better not do.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, top of the hour, we back. You know, thank you, Shirley, for asking me.
You're welcome.
About the stuff that's about me. I, you know, and look, and you know, once again, I appreciate y'all hearing me out. You know, look, I normally don't address stuff on the internet, but this went out in a real paper, and now this is going out on real TV. I don't know why. I'm a news story. Our country in a world of damn trouble.
Yes.
We got North Korea trying to launch missiles on our ass, and y'all sitting up here worrying about because I don't want nobody just walking in my damn dressing room. Oh, wait, let me ask you something. Can people just walk in your house?
No,
that'll get you shot. That'll get you shot.
If you come home, can a person be sitting on your porch? When you come out your back door to get in your car, do people come up to you before you get in your car? What I asked for was just, can you just respect my space? But it just comes from 4 years of people just taking advantage of my kindness because I'm a comedian. See, Oprah ain't no comedian. You can't do that to Oprah. Oprah walks with a group of people around here. Now, you run up on Miss Winfrey if you want to. It'll be your last time. And not that she's a mean person, because Oprah's a sweetheart. But Oprah has that respect. You can't do that to Tyler.
And Oprah got
it. May I speak, Mr. Harvey? Ellen.
Yes, you can. Oh.
May I speak, Mr. Harvey?
But don't look at him.
You're not asking
him to speak.
May I speak, Mr. Harvey?
Yeah, you can, but just a little.
Just a little bit.
It's called being new on the job.
Right.
Well, it's the end of your third week, isn't it, Jay?
I'm 3 weeks there.
Yeah. He's still new.
Still.
And Tommy, you need to learn this.
I've been with you all my life. I'm not going to ask you when to speak.
No, you ain't got to ask me to speak, but when you see me blinking, you stop.
Excuse me. Are you looking at him, Tommy?
Oh, please.
Oh, in the eye?
Not in the eye. He's looking more like waist level, but it's close.
It's close.
May I speak, Mr. Harvey?
You know, I already spoke. What you want to say now?
Can you let me know when you're thinking so I will not think at the same time?
You want a blank mind?
No, that's what we're talking about.
Giving that respect.
Junior?
Yeah, Mr. Harvey, I will say this.
Junior,
yes, sir.
Ain't nobody talking to you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. I wish I would.
See, what you're going to do is you're going to be what your name is, Junior.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm. Back down all these seniors up in here.
Yeah. I knew you when you ain't had no money. I wish I would get up here and tell him, nah, I can't blink when you blink. Can't go to the bathroom. Right. We used to pee outside together. What is you talking about?
May I speak again, Mr. Hunter?
Oh, I knew you when you ain't had no money. I know you now.
Junior, don't get caught in there. Don't do that.
Hey, no, you know it's Junior and Steve against you and Jay, Tommy.
I ain't got no money, but that's just for the hill, though.
And what do you want, Jay?
Tommy, this is a good job for me, okay? And I don't want to mess up. So he asked you nicely to not look at him.
Yes,
so the best thing for you to do so that we don't all lose our good jobs is don't do that, okay?
Man, please. Do that. I'm looking at him.
He's already fired us, according to the story.
Tom, and Steve, quit looking at my chest. Stop. And according to the other internet story, I'd have fired y'all any day.
Yes. People kept hitting us up. Are you still working with Steve? Are you still working on the show?
Shirley. Yes. My father-in-law called Steve. Are you okay? What are you talking about?
One of my partners called me and said, man, you lost your job. I said, no, I didn't. He said, man, I think you better check again. How are you going to ask me to check on my job?
Read the story.
But wait, Steve, Junior called me and said, how does it feel to be fired? I said, huh? What are you talking about?
Somebody said, damn, you just got there.
Oh, man. But when your coworker called you, what, Junior? What are you talking about? He said, well, according to the internet, Steve fired us all.
Fired everybody.
Huh?
And, let me say this about that note, Unc. Can I say this? I think it was a great note you wrote. It was so great, I copied and pasted it and sent it to 30 people I didn't want talking to me.
No.
You're stupid.
Yeah. So they got it today.
But I think when people read the letter, Steve, they completely overlooked the word ambushed. Ambush. Do not ambush me. I'm feeling ambushed. Okay, it means that when you walk out of your room, there's a group of people just converge upon you with questions, like the paparazzi or something.
Yeah, but you know what it was in the letter, I just told them what they had to do. I still, all you had to do was make an appointment.
Yeah, so that means I'm still willing to talk to them and hear them.
Oh, man, I talk to all my employees. But you have to make an appointment now. No more just stopping me when you got every whim. You have no idea what people would stop me with. I got 15 minutes before we turn this thing around. I have people bringing stuff up to the office that they read. Letters, proposals, ideas.
Wow.
I mean, man, it was just crazy, man. Not being mean or anything, but taking advantage of the fact that I just allow people to step up to me. Because I'm out here doing a happy show. I'm in the fun biz. I'm on Family Feud, Little Big Shot.
Your mood affects,
Well, this is
and
what
they
you
feel
need
like
to
they
do,
know you.
Let me proofread your next letter. Don't just be sending stuff out. And ain't nobody read what you send it.
Hey, dog. I ain't going to do that. Stuff. I'm my own man. I sent it out. I do not apologize for the letter. No, man. I ask for the same respect y'all give everybody else. Let me tell you something.
And
they can't.
Let
me explain something to you. The president of this building, the president of this NBC station, you can't walk up to his office without an appointment. You don't even know his ass.
But he's still president, though.
Ambush hey, to attack someone or something by surprise from a hidden place. That's what ambush means.
And for 4 years, I allowed people to do that. In year five, I said, man. What is it that's getting me down about coming here? And that was one of the problems. I have no free moments to myself. I mean, Monica sits here with me every morning. She'll tell you, people used to just walk in here. Man, so I had to put special locks on the doors because I don't like locking the door, so when I go in and out. But, man, people just walking in your dressing room. Who does that? If you're at your house, do you let anybody just walk into your home? Right. No, man. Nope. And when I'm at work, my dressing room is my home. Because I'm here more than I am at home.
Yeah.
Well, let me
Truly.
Say this, Steve. It's always some negative stuff. It's still fun. People still, your staff still enjoy working with you. And I think that's just an image that was put out there that, you know, is just so much misery going on.
Yeah. But it's amazing.
Yeah, we
you
love
got
you.
Your check,
you know, we
man.
Love you.
Damn.
Fly us. It
Music, let's go. Come on, Kat.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, you're going to love this story. Beyonce's publicist checks gossip site for spreading rumors. Beyonce and her team are not here for anyone trying to say she had lip injections while pregnant. Really? Bae's publicist, Yvette Noel Shore, fired back at a gossip site that recently claimed the singer had Kylie Jenner lip injection. Her publicist released the following statement. Check it out. It says, "What do you know about the effects of pregnancy on a woman's entire body? Do you know that in addition to weight gain, there is often a dramatic change in the blood flow in the system and increased fluid causing swelling? Hello. The sacrifice to our faces, our feet, oh my God, and our entire bodies is something we welcome because we bring beautiful humans into the world who will one day combat your hate and your negativity. I stood silent during Beyonce's first pregnancy when you thought it was okay to bully her like the coward you are when you accused her of never being pregnant, but I simply cannot this time. You are the saddest individuals, and picking on a pregnant lady is tantamount to possessing the coldest, despicable heart. We love it. Do not come for the queen." Okay?
Yes. Wow. I love that.
Okay.
I like tantamount, too. I like that.
I didn't know what that meant.
I don't know what that means.
It's a place overseas. Country, tantamount. I've been there.
But she's so right, though.
She's right.
Yeah, yes. Things swell up when you're pregnant.
You
your
get
nose,
bitter, right?
Your lips, your feet. I mean,
everything.
Everything. You know, you just got to, come on now. Why would she get lip injections while pregnant?
While pregnant. That doesn't
pregnant.
Make sense, right?
Yeah, while pregnant. It makes no sense.
I want to be famous, but not that famous. Y'all go through too much, man. Yeah. I don't want all of that.
Yeah. That's just mean. Don't do it.
And the ability
mean.
To spread rumors, too.
Yeah.
That went on top of that.
According to a new study, smiling can make you look up to 2 years older than you really are. Well, you can blame it on the wrinkles that form around your eyes when you're smiling. On the other hand, a shocked or surprised look makes you look younger.
I don't trust people who smile a lot.
Because it smooths out those wrinkles.
You know, you don't know people who smile a lot? You know, do you trust them? Just people smile for no reason. Just
oh, for no reason,
got that
yeah.
Set smile on their face.
Yeah, for no reason.
It's just
yeah.
broken they're, on there yeah. like that.
They're suspect.
Don't trust them.
No, I don't yeah. trust them at all, man. The smiling. What you smiling at?
You're so happy
what's
for.
What's so funny?
I'm a comedian. Tell me yeah. what you smiling at.
I can't stand smiling too much and fast talkers. I can't stand a fast talker.
Yeah,
I
don't fast talker. Talkers, yeah.
You're always
yeah.
like, what are you saying?
Yeah,
what are you
saying? What's going on with you?
Yeah.
Like and, you're running and, game.
Exactly. Forget having an innie or an outie, talking about the belly button, now. Yeah, people are going to plastic surgeons. This is the next big craze. Uh-huh. In pursuit of the perfect belly button.
Oh.
Who cares?
Jay, you got an outie the size no, of a silver dollar. How big?
I have a nunny. I don't even have
You don't
a
have a belly button?
At all, no.
You can't what? See it no more.
I don't have it.
It's there.
Oh, it's there. Everybody got one.
I don't have
one.
It didn't just ate itself.
I didn't have one at birth.
Well, you wasn't born then.
Oh, you got one. Yeah. No. Oh, you
mine,
got one. It
mine
just
is in my
closed.
Back. It's in my back. It's a back button.
Wow. Yeah, this doctor who's a plastic surgeon in New York City says his patients are requesting a belly button that is oval with a bit of a hood on the top.
What?
Whatever that looks like.
Mine's waste my of money. Back.
Happy Mother's Day, by the way.
Everybody.
Yes, happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
Honey, when we come back, I need to say something about Mother's Day. Hey, Mel, you going to buy me something for Mother's Day?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You look for it.
Yeah. You call breath. Me a mother something every week, so I just figured you could at least buy me something.
We'll be back. Former FBI Director James Comey has finally responded to his firing in a letter written to his colleagues at the Bureau.
He
in
wrote a letter, too, letter, huh? You all right, huh? Mm-hmm. He wrote a letter, too.
I'm going to write another one.
Oh, God. This ain't the last letter.
It's only going to contain two words, isn't it, Steve?
F you.
In the farewell letter, which he sent Wednesday night, he wrote, "I have long believed that a president can fire an FBI director for any reason or for no reason at all. I'm not going to spend time on the decision or the way it was executed. I hope you won't either. It is done, and I will be fine. Although I will miss you and the mission deeply." Nice classy
now,
letter.
Now does he leave with money, get paid, or severance,
yeah, he gets some
anything
money.
Like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he gets some money.
No, you fire them boys. They get they. Listen to me. He has a 10-year deal. It's almost like a deal. He going to get a nice package for leaving. And don't you know he going to land somewhere real nice?
Say, he's going to get a really nice job. He won't be out of work long.
Come
he
on,
won't.
Man. You the director of the FBI, and all of a sudden you available?
He'll probably be working for your TV show in L.A. now. Say, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, but he can't speak to me, though.
Or look you in the eye. Yeah, or ambush you.
Oh, he can't ambush you.
What job you know you sure. get fired on, you leave in a private
hey,
jet?
Hey, I want to say to my man Stephen A. Smith out there, man, I appreciate the little boy. He reached out to me today, asked me was I okay. But let me say this to everybody. I'm absolutely okay. I had a great staff here in Chicago. The 99.9% of these people were absolutely wonderful and great, hardworking people. Mm-hmm. You take a disgruntled person who ain't happy with where they life at now because this show moving to L.A. and obviously they not going. So they're going to take a letter that I sent way back in August. And everybody understood why they got it. Everybody came up to me and agreed, wow, Mr. Harvey, I can't believe you allowed it to go on this long. You've been more than cordial and congenial with people, but people have just taken advantage of you. So the letter I read was to stop them from doing it to me. And I just write plain. I didn't have my publicist put it together. I didn't have no legal term read over it, legal team read over it. That's how I write to people. I need it to be plain because I don't need nobody to misunderstand it. Now, if you want to talk to me, make an appointment. I even said at the end of the letter, that's what the cold part, at the end of the letter, I said something to the effect of, you know, please don't take offense. I said, everyone, do not take offense to the new way of doing business. It is for the good of my personal life and enjoyment. Thank you all, Steve Hart. Mm-hmm. I just, you know I type kind of crazy, but don't take offense to it because I need some space for me. And I'm just saying to the everyday man that reads this, here's the deal. And to my staff here on the radio show, who It's probably
I wanted you to address us as well. Yes.
Well, Shirley, that's because you real clingy, you needy.
And that's, no, that's, I'm not.
You, no, yes, you are, because I wanted you to address us. You have a
yes,
husband,
address
Shirley.
Us.
Well, you know, let his address your
job.
Ass.
Yeah,
it ain't got nothing to do with the job. I didn't write y'all no damn letter. I talks to y'all.
Well, people think you fired us.
Well, you already. Well, they think you fired us, but your ass at work every day.
I just came in out of habit.
And Junior, one more time, Junior.
Gonna burn
be
this place
your
down.
Name.
Gonna be like United, you fire me. I'm gonna scream and pull stuff. It's not gonna be pretty. Oh, I just got here.
It's gonna be more. I'm gonna whoop his ass.
It's Willie Turner. I'm telling you.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, we back, everybody. We got time for just one more thing. I wanted to say this. Let me say this. Thank you to my staff here at the radio show for always being supportive. Woo-hoo. Shirley, Carla, Tommy, Julie,
we love
the
you.
New man, Jay.
Love you.
Oh, man.
You know,
I mean, and we man, know just, you.
You know, y'all support is it means a lot to me. It matters because it gives me a balance point. Because when I feel like I'm under attack, you know, it's always good to know people who know you and know your heart. You know, I'm not a mean-spirited, mm-hmm. person or vindictive person at all. So, you know, it comes out that way. Yesterday was my last show for the TV show in Chicago. That news was passed out to the staff in March by the president of Endemol, great guy, Chris Abrego. He came and informed everybody in March that the show was moving. That was the day after it was confirmed with me. We had been working on moving the show for 2 years, but it couldn't because financially it couldn't go to Los Angeles financially. So guess what? I get my check from Endemol too, so I just had to sit it out with everybody else. When we finally got it together in March of 2017, he came in the next day and he made the announcement to the staff. Everybody handled it well. It's been a great group up here. The staff members up here in Chicago have been some of the finest people I've worked with in all of my television shows. And, you know, at the end of this season, when this year is up, I'll have 7 shows on the air. It's wow. such an amazing
wow.
blessing God, from God.
That's awesome, Steve.
Wow, that's
yeah.
you know, record,
but,
man.
But, mm-hmm. you know, that's that God I serve, that he will do exceedingly and abundantly over all
down.
That I think or ask. I read that Bible verse almost every single day, and I live by that. Yeah, Ephesians 3:20. Because it's just the way God really is. I hate that people are so bitter sometimes in their own space and in their own life that they can't see the good in what happens to them. But this show, Leaving Chicago, is a new beginning for all of us, everybody. People whose job ended, they have an opportunity to become something else. And people whose jobs will continue, they get to go and be somewhere else. It'll just be in another city. The staff here has been fabulous. The cameramen, the crew, great guys, the producers, the young people who got their start in writing here and producing. So many people came over from Oprah's old show on my show. I have a lot of staff members from Oprah's show. Now this show is leaving again. And you know, that's what it is. I wish that Mr. Feeder had him asked me, you know, what I thought, but maybe he didn't think that was necessary. But you know, it's not a one-sided thing. You know, the letter I wrote to my staff at the beginning of the year was after 4 years of allowing people to have just complete and total access to me. And after 4 years, I had to write a note myself to say, hey, look, y'all got to stop doing me this way. Y'all got to stop ambushing me in the hallways. Stop walking in my dressing room without knocking. Who does that? And so when I wrote the note, now they send a note out like I'm some ogre. Variety Magazine, who really has always done positive thing about me. Those of you waiting on Steve Harvey to come to L.A., don't look for warm and open arms. This is the letter he wrote to his staff. Because I had to get myself some personal space. I make no apologies about the letter. I'm a cool guy. But you can't walk up on Dr. Phil, Oprah, Ellen.
I wish you would.
You can't walk up on Meredith Vieira. You can't just walk up on Kelly, all these people on daytime TV. Just try to walk
Matt
up
Lauer.
On Ryan Seacrest.
Matt Lauer.
I tell you what, walk up on Matt Lauer and let me know how that work out for you.
Okay.
Not that he's a bad guy. It's yeah. just that they don't allow you around these people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have security walking with me except when I'm walking to the stage. And these dudes is already told, leave everybody alone, man. Just let them take the pictures, do what they want to do. 4 years of that and people taking advantage of it, I wrote a note to the staff back in August. Now, it's all in the paper like I'm some evil-ass tyrant. Well, I'm not. and I enjoyed my stay here in Chicago. I will miss the city of Chicago. I think the people was the best audiences I could have ever hoped for was in Chicago. The restaurants is banging. The employees were outstanding. It's been just a great experience. I hate at the end that somebody would try to tarnish it with some negativity like this, but I'm not going to let you do it. I'm not going to let you do it. You cannot beat me that way. The God I serve won't allow it. I'm gonna just tell you who wrote the letter and released it and put it out with this negative thing. Isaiah 54:17. I keep living by that. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every time they come to get me. What you don't understand, when you come to get Steve Harvey, I'm not by myself. I'm his soldier. I'm one of his imperfect soldiers. That's all I am. I ain't perfect. You can't follow me and make it to heaven. None of that. But I'm his dude, though. So when you come for his dude, he gonna cover me. So I wish everybody well, man. Thank y'all again. Thank you to my staff here at the radio show for always being supportive. Woo-hoo. Shirley Carla, Tommy Jr.,
we love
new
you.
Man Jay.
We love you.
Oh, man. Come on,
I mean, and we man, know just, you.
Jay, I really do understand why Tom kept you from talking so much. I do understand
why
that.
Why you tearing on it like that? Why
because
you
I don't know how I don't know no other transition. You like you got a better one with your stupid.
That's why we don't let you write letters.
And we right back.
See, now I do the transition how I want to.
Mr. Harvey, can I ask another question?
Just a little one.
Do I come here Monday? I need to...
Start that fourth week, Jay.
I need to know, sir.
All right, Steve. Dedicate this last 30 seconds to the mothers out there that love you and that listen to you every single day.
To all of the mothers out there, to all of us who miss our mothers, thank y'all. Thank y'all so much for making us who we were, for giving us life. Without mothers, this world would be nothing. As a matter of fact, there would be no world. Happy Mother's Day out there. God bless y'all and keep you. We'll see you Monday.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.